Mackie and Judd now continue.
Better get to work now, boy.
On 1500 ESPN.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. All the way up. All the way up.
Effective immediately, we will boycott all football activities. The boycott will remain in effect until due process is followed and the suspensions for all 10 players are involved, are lifted.
Yeah, we're staying on this. We're going to get to write that down at some point. Todd Furman with a Vegas perspective on NFL games at the top of the hour. Superstar Mike Morris, it's Game Show Friday. So, but this the main story today and the main talker, our phone lines have been jammed for an hour and a half. Our Twitter feeds have been jammed, at Phil Mackey, at 1500 ESPN Judd. And at 1500 ESPN, just been jammed. It's such a nuanced, fascinating talker, disturbing talker. Let's get a legal perspective on the U of M and the administration offices versus the players, and then obviously the female victim in question here. Jeff O'Brien, and you can find him on the Case in Point podcast a couple times a month on 1500ESPN.com, on iTunes, on Podcast One, from Loman Abdo. Jeff, can you just, there's so many things to parse apart here, but I think a lot of people are having trouble with, well, the Minneapolis Police Department didn't file any charges, didn't see enough evidence to where criminal charges should be filed. So what could the U of M possibly have found that would warrant expulsion or long-term suspensions? Well, there's a code of conduct. So can you explain to the audience just how all of these things kind of parse apart and work?
Sure. Well, you know, just like in the legal world where you have criminal and civil matters, in this kind of situation, you have not only you had the criminal case, which there was a decision not to pursue charges, but the U of M has its own code of conduct, as you alluded to, Phil, and there's an administrative process that has to be followed. It could be administrative discipline and academic discipline because, you know, Title IX, which governs, you know, college universities, prohibits sexual assault, sex discrimination, sexual harassment, not only in college athletics, but in academics as well. So because this is dealing with an alleged sexual assault, that's why this is still a code of conduct issue and why it's within the purview of the university to mete out some other sort of discipline separate and apart from whatever the criminal courts were going to do. That being said, one thing that has to be remembered, I know I've been listening and following online, a lot of people are talking about due process, and I absolutely agree with that. One thing to remember is the University of Minnesota is a public university, and anytime you're dealing with a public school, whether it be a college, a high school, a junior high, middle school, elementary school, when you're depriving a student the right to an education in a public public institution like this, it requires due process. And that's my big concern here. And my bias is always on the side of players, whether they be, you know, college, high school, pro, because that's who I represent. But here it just seems like there was a – it's almost like President Kaler and Athletic Director Coyle read a page out of the Roger Goodell School of Administrative Due Process and just decided they were going to mete out this punishment. They did. My understanding is that these players were sent a letter, given a copy of the report or portions of the report, and told them what the punishment was going to, what this discipline was going to be. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, the better course of action would have been to bring the report to them before imposing the penalties, and allow there to be a hearing and allow these players the right to be heard, rather than what's happening here, where the punishment's already been administered, and now they're in the position of having to appeal this punishment. There should have been a hearing in the first place.
And so, Jeff, they are, I think what Coyle and Kaler are trying to tell these players is you are going to get due process. It's going to take some time. What are the chances, though, that the lawyer for these players could file something and basically expedite the process? And question two is, why doesn't one or two of the players break off and get their own representation legally? Because I think it would probably, if you know, one kid broke off and got his own representation, you'd have a much better chance to go forward quickly, right?
Not necessarily. I think here you're dealing, and I know their attorney, he's a former colleague of mine, he's a friend of mine, and I know you're dealing with a constitutional issue here, where you're dealing with due process, right? 14th Amendment takes the due process, you know, guarantees due process to, you know, no state shall deprive anybody of any rights without due process of law. So you're dealing with a constitutional issue here. Those issues are always expedited in the courts. Okay. When someone's constitutional rights are infringed, there are fast-track means of getting those appeals heard and getting decisions like this overturned. So, and in terms of them all being represented, you know, by one attorney, you know, anytime you have a group of folks that it's sometimes it's strength in numbers. And here where you have guys that all have a commonality of interest, this is all stemming out of the same incident, and they're all being given the same punishment. Or in terms of the long term, you know, some of them have been recommended for expulsion, some of them have been recommended for suspension for a year. But still, they're all being disciplined. They're all being without a hearing. And so I think that there is a case to be made why you would have all of them represented by, you know, a common attorney, because their interests are all the same.
Yeah, Jeff O'Brien from Lohman Abdo Law Firm, also the host of the Case in Point podcast with Dave Harrigan. You can find that on 1500ESPN.com. Sports law discussions. I know they went over the latest NBA, CBA, and I'm assuming this is going to be a topic down the road if you want it to be for another podcast. One more question for you, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
What do you, going forward, it would seem, and this isn't even really a legal question necessarily, but you know, the players have drawn a line in the sand. Now, the U of M could just come out today, cancel the Holiday Bowl on their end, and then buy some more time here. But if the players don't budge, and if the administration doesn't lift the suspensions and the punishments, well, then the only real course of action for the administration, if they want to maintain credibility, is to strip scholarships.
Yeah. And the other piece of this here is, at some point, I mean, this is what the players did yesterday essentially was a vote of no confidence in the administration. Some of the actions here since the boycott was announced, the President Kaler saying, well, oh, Coach Clay was involved. Coach Clay was tweeting support for the players. You know, there's an inconsistency there. I think at some point here, given the way that this all has been handled, I wouldn't be surprised if the Board of Regents step in and take a look at what their administration is doing, because this is $2.8 million that they're going to lose if the team doesn't go play in that bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, not that football is the most important thing here, but ultimately it's one of your largest revenue generating entities, and it feels like people are hovering over the detonate button here, the self destruct button with this football program. So hopefully there can be some kind of solution.
Yeah, for the folks that say, get rid of it, get rid of all of them, that's kind of an ignorant statement, because the football program funds a lot of the athletics of the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Jeff, thank you
very much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeff O'Brien from Lohman Abdo and the Case in Point podcast.
In all